This is America Weekend, a new kind of radio because life doesn't stop on the weekends. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. We're going to talk in this segment about BOSS. That is not the person you work for. BOSS is an acronym that stands for Biometric Optical Surveillance System. It is a crowd scanning project that the Department of Homeland Security is spending millions of dollars on. We found out about it because of an article that was printed in the New York Times earlier this week, and there was some follow-up work by Ars Technica writer Cyrus Farivar. He's their senior business editor, and I've asked him to join me here and explain exactly what this is. Cyrus, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you very much.
So this is basically the government working its way towards doing facial scanning of crowds. Am I right?
That's correct. From these new documents, as you said, this BOSS system, which is an acronym for Biometric Optical Surveillance System, that's the BOSS part, at standoff distance. So basically what that means is the government wants to build a device or contract with private companies to build a device that would be able to accurately scan and recognize individual faces at a distance of 100 meters. That's about 300 feet.
Now, this is not the same kind of thing that businesses like casinos use to do facial recognition of people who are gambling at their tables, right?
Well, in some ways it is. I mean, it's the same technology, just for a different purpose. So facial recognition has been around for quite a long time. As you said, it's used in casinos. It's also used online, on Facebook, things like that, for people who are having tag suggestions when they upload photos to Facebook. Basically, the way facial recognition works is it's looking for identifying features on your face, the distance between your nose and your left eye, the distance between your two eyes, the distance between your mouth and your nose, various points it's looking to compare a known image of you against a person who might be you.
Okay, but what are they going to use as the database to check this against? Is essentially the government going to upload every photo on Facebook and have an idea of who everybody is?
Well, that's a good question. It remains a little bit unclear as to how they're going to have good sourcing material. Recall, anybody in this country who has a driver's license or a state-issued ID already has a photo that's been issued to the government that the government has access to, right?
Yep.
And there are some places in America where, I know most notably in South Dakota, they've already been trialing this, where they're running people who are arrested and using facial recognition technology to run against the driver's license database.
Okay, so it seems to me like that might be a way where you could figure out somebody. Let's say you get them in a mugshot and you run them through a system, or you get somebody standing still and you run them through a system. What are you going to do in places where people are walking around, milling around, entering a building, etc.? Can they take moving images and compare them to those static images from our driver's licenses?
Right, so this is the interesting problem with facial recognition. So I spoke with a gentleman by the name of Anil Jain, who's a biometrics expert and professor of computer science at Michigan State University. And he told me that, you know, this is one of the key problems with using this type of facial recognition in the way that the government wants to do. This works, facial recognition works okay when the subject is what's called cooperative. As you said, when they're kind of in a controlled environment, when they're looking straight at the camera. But when somebody is being captured that's moving, that's not looking at the camera straight on, that's maybe wearing a baseball cap or some other wearing some other article of clothing that may obstruct their face, it's really difficult for computer software to accurately analyze who that person is. So at this point, this technology isn't quite there yet, but it's definitely on the way.
One of the examples I hear when people talk about facial recognition software or using surveillance video to figure out who somebody is would be the Tsarnaev brothers, one dead, one in prison now, the guys who bombed the Boston Marathon back in April. And, of course, it was video from the cameras and the many, many cameras that were there. It was a televised event. And in America now, everybody with an iPhone or other smartphone in their pocket is videotaping or taking pictures at all times. And the government was able to, or law enforcement was able to, use many of those images to figure out who it was who had been the bombers. But once they did that, did they know the names of these guys based on that video?
Well, that's the interesting thing. The police seems to have used kind of painstaking manual searching of video images and other surveillance data. But actual facial recognition in this way, in a much more automated way, came up empty. The Boston Police Commissioner, Edward Davis, at the time, told the Washington Post that, you know, even though both Tsarnaev's images exist in official databases, Joker Tsarnaev had a Massachusetts driver's license and both brothers had legally immigrated to the United States, they weren't able to match low-quality video stills against the official images that they had in their database. So in this case, facial recognition didn't do what it was supposed to do.
But that's now.
Correct. That's now. And it's highly likely that, you know, in the next 3, 4, 5 years, this technology will improve. We've seen technology of this type improve steadily over the last several years. And it seems only a matter of time before facial recognition gets good enough to where law enforcement agencies, where government agencies would be able to do exactly what they want to do, capture a still off of a moving image at a distance of 100 yards and compare that to an official image in a government database and figure out who it is that they're looking at.
You know, whenever I talk about privacy issues on this show, I always get an email or a tweet from somebody who says, well, what are you so worried about? What do you have to hide? And I always write back to them and say, if you don't have anything to hide, how about if every day when you leave your house, you had to call the government and say, I'm leaving my house now, I'm going to this store, then I'm going to that store, then I'm going to work, and then at lunch today I'm meeting this person, and tell the government every place you're going to be. Let law enforcement know everything about where you are at all times. Well, with this sort of software that you're talking about here, Cyrus, it seems to me that if the government can get that technology to the point where it recognizes faces in crowds, they would be able to track you wherever you go, right?
I think that's the ultimate fear. And I think as this technology is still in its early stages, it's up to us, the citizenry, to ask serious questions of our government as to how as to what their capabilities are and how this technology is intended to be used. I drew a parallel in my article to existing technology having to do with license plate readers. This is a similar type of scanning that happens frequently across America, millions of records captured every single day by cities large and small across this country. And basically what happens is the police are using specialized cameras mounted on police cars to automatically scan and record people's license plates as they drive around. I live in Oakland, California, and over the last year, the Oakland Police Department has captured my license plate 13 times. I know this because I asked them. And I am not suspected of a crime. I am not being investigated for a crime. I have no criminal record. So I guess it disturbs me a little bit that my local police department has a record of where I was going up to a year ago.
Well, I think you're right to be concerned, and we do need our lawmakers to establish oversight rules and limits on how this is going to be used, and we need to do that now as the technology is developing, not 5 years from now, once it has already been developed and is being used.
I agree. I think it's very difficult for law enforcement to pull back on technologies that they've had for a long period of time. I think that, you know, I would like to believe that the vast majority of our men and women in law enforcement are doing the job as the best as they know how and are using the tools as best as they are able and are doing it with the best of intentions most of the time, I would like to believe. That being said, I think, as I said, it's up to us, and as you said, it's up to us, the citizenry, and to lobby and go to our lawmakers and say, hey, you know, let's think about the particular instances in which this technology could be used or should be used, rather than a blanket image capture, rather than a all-the-time capture everything, everybody, all the time.
I've only got 30 seconds here, Cyrus. Is the military using this now?
Yes. In fact, this technology came about through military use of scanning people at polling stations in Iraq and Afghanistan. So a lot of times technology that is originally designed for military use ends up being used in domestic law enforcement.
Yeah. After all, it was in the Pentagon that we got the first inklings of something called the Internet, which we use now. It'll be very interesting to see how this does develop going forward, and very important to see whether those laws can get out in front of it, because far too often when it comes to technological change, the lawmakers either don't understand the technology, don't know that the technology exists, or maybe just don't care about its application, particularly in light of a little thing called the Bill of Rights. Cyrus Farivar, Senior Business Editor for Ars Technica, thanks so much for joining me here today.
You're welcome. Paul Harris, America, we give.